2 months to the day away from Election Day, Hillary Clinton leading Donald Trump in North Carolina in a new poll out of Quinnipiac University, also leading him in Pennsylvania by 5 points, but that's down from 10-point lead in last month's survey. Basically tied in Florida, basically tied in Ohio, and that mirrors results that are being found by polling companies all around, including Public Policy Polling, which just released numbers from Florida this week, showing Donald Trump with a 1-point lead over Hillary Clinton with Gary Johnson and Jill Stein in the race. If you take Gary Johnson and Jill Stein out of the race, though, the lead flips. It's Clinton by one instead of Trump. One way or the other, though, it's going to be down to the wire in Florida, as it's likely to be in North Carolina, too. We're joined now on the air by Tom Jensen, Director of Public Policy Polling, with more on the state of things heading into the November election just a couple of months out. Tom, thanks for joining us, and what are we finding in Florida that's surprising?
Well, in 2012, the presidential race in Florida basically ended up as a tie while Barack Obama was winning by 4 points nationally. And it's really sort of a similar story right now. The race in Florida is basically tied, and that's what you would expect if Hillary Clinton's up by 3 or 4 points on the national level, as I think she is. So, the reality for Clinton is that Florida as a state is sort of more of a want than a need. She has plenty of paths to get 270 electoral votes and be elected, whether she wins Florida or not. So, I think it's clearly the race has gotten closer than it was a month ago, and sort of the immediate wake of the conventions and all of the controversy with Donald Trump and the Kahn family and that sort of thing, Hillary Clinton's lead expanded. Now it's back pretty much to where it was in mid-July. So she's still favored, just maybe not as overwhelmingly as she had been.
This survey of Florida shows that third-party voters, people who are picking Gary Johnson, Jill Stein, Evan McMullen, also on the list with getting 1% of the vote in Florida, those voters would favor Clinton over Trump by 12 points if it were just down to those two candidates and they didn't have any other options. Is that something that you're also finding in other states and across the country? Is that something that pollsters in general are finding, or are the Johnsons and the Steins basically pulling votes equally from the two candidates?
Well, there has been a little bit of a shift when it comes to that dynamic over the last 2 weeks. It is now turning out in most polls that the third-party candidates are pulling more votes away from Hillary Clinton than they are from Donald Trump. So it's not unusual now when a state gets polled for Clinton to, for instance, be up by 2 points when all the candidates are included, but to then be up by 4 points if it's just a choice between her and Trump. And the reason for that is that Gary Johnson voters split pretty evenly between whether they'd go to Clinton or Trump if they had to pick between the two. But Jill Stein supporters are pretty much completely taking away from Hillary Clinton. It's really a similar dynamic to Ralph Nader in the 2000 presidential race. And it's going to be interesting to see if those people will actually stick with the Steins and Johnsons of the world, or if they see that voting third party could possibly elect Trump if those people end up voting for who they would pick if they had to choose just between Clinton and Trump. And one interesting thing on top of that dynamic that we found in this Florida poll was that among voters who are undecided between Clinton and Trump, we asked them, well, if you had to choose between 4 more years of Barack Obama or having Donald Trump as president, what would you pick? And they said 54-13 that they would go for Obama. And if those people actually voted for the same party this year that they sort of prefer in that fantasy Obama-Trump choice, Clinton's lead in Florida would go from 1 point up to 3 points. So I think that shows us two things. I mean, one, it does show us that Hillary Clinton's underperforming, that a lot of Democratic-leaning voters still aren't comfortable enough with her to say that they'll vote for her. But it also shows that she might have more room to grow than Trump does, because at least those voters who are still on the fence sort of prefer the current direction the country's on to the vastly different one that Trump would bring to the table.
And I was going to say just then that ordinarily you'd look at that number, the 54-13 there, and say, well, that's great news for Hillary Clinton, because as we get closer and closer to the election in the next couple of months, those numbers for the third party candidates are probably going to go down. And if those voters end up going mostly over to Clinton versus Trump, that's great news for her. But is this an unusual election so far in that the third party numbers haven't been going down, at least not yet. We're still 2 months away. But is there an indication that things are different this time around in 2016 versus 2012? Are you still expecting to see those third party numbers go down? Or is there an indication that maybe this is a different kind of race and the third party numbers are going to remain steady where they are?
Yeah, I still think that the third party candidate numbers will go down eventually, but I don't think they will go down to the same extent that they have in past election cycles. For instance, Gary Johnson and Jill Stein were both on the ballot in 2012, and combined between the two of them, they got like 2% nationally. And clearly, I think this year you're going to see that at least be more like 5 or 6%, but it's not going to be like 11 or 12%, I think, like we're seeing in some of the polls right now. So I do think it'll still go down. You know, it's just going to be interesting to see which kind of the third-party voters are more willing to sort of end up jumping ship. Like, some of the people who are voting third-party right now are Republicans who are the never-Trump crowd. And it's sort of like, are they truly never-Trump, or are they going to end up deciding in the end that they're going to vote Republican just because they're Republicans and that sort of thing? So I think the third party support will go down, but I still think it will definitely be substantially higher than it was the last few elections.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, Public Policy Polling, head to publicpolicypolling.com. That's their website. Get the latest numbers from Florida and nationwide. A lot of numbers there from this past week and the last couple of weeks. Talking about the Florida survey right now and taking a look at this number, and you mentioned sort of similarities between this year and 2012 in Florida, the way things are shaping up. And that, I know, has been sort of the narrative that you've been finding so far this election, for all of the talk about how unusual this election has been, the unusual circumstances of the Republican primary and that whole thing, the Democratic primary, everything that's just sort of bizarre about 2016. In terms of actually looking at the numbers, this race is shaping up a lot like 2012. That's been the narrative. Is that still the narrative? Is that still the case, or are we seeing things different now?
Yeah, I think we are pretty much still seeing things in the similar way. I mean, we released polls in four states this week. Florida, Obama won by one. We have Trump up by one in one iteration, Clinton up by one in the other iteration. So very similar. We released a Pennsylvania poll this week. Clinton was up by five. Obama won there by five. We released a New Hampshire poll this week. We had Clinton up by five. Obama won there by six. And we released an Iowa poll this week. That was the one where there was a little difference. We only had Clinton up by two and Obama won Iowa by six. But for the most part, we are finding a similar picture. And you mentioned as we were starting that the Quinnipiac poll came out today with Clinton up by four. There was also a new poll today for North Carolina that came out from Suffolk University that had Trump up by three. So you average those two out, that gives Clinton a half-point lead. Very similar to the two-point race that we had in North Carolina in 2012, and even more similar to the less than half a point race that we had in North Carolina in 2008. So there's going to be a few states that sway more in one direction or another. Iowa is clearly a state that's more Republican this year. Seems like places like Arizona and Georgia are likely to be more Democratic this year. But certainly big picture, when you total it all up, it's looking very similar to 2012. And of course, it's important to remember in 2012 that as close as that election felt for much of the way, Barack Obama did end up winning 332 to 206 in the Electoral College. On that front, it ended up not being that close. So it'll be it'll take more of a shift than we're seeing right now to sort of change that overall dynamic.
Is there a particular issue or sort of a particular sort of large question like the economy or foreign policy or something like that where you see voters being feeling particularly strongly about that particular issue, that particular thing? They think it's important. They feel strongly where that one thing could end up making the difference in terms of the outcome. I'm asking because I'm looking at this Florida race and there's the usual questions about background checks on gun purchases and Merrick Garland's Supreme Court nomination and the minimum wage. But there's also this question about the Zika virus and should Congress be funding it ending the political gamesmanship and just moving forward with the bill. And I can imagine enough people in Florida, if the race is that close, being swayed enough by congressional inaction on Zika, where, you know, in Miami it's actually an immediate issue, to possibly swing Florida one way or the other.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely saw in 2014 that In some states, it seemed like close races sort of got tipped by the Ebola scare. Mm-hmm. There's some thought that that might have even been why Kay Hagan lost in North Carolina in 2014. So when you have a situation like Florida where the race is within 1 point, definitely just about anything could tip the balance. And you look for things that are sort of issues that matter more on sort of a local level than the same things you have everywhere. And it definitely was pretty striking. Obviously, Congress has failed to pass a Zika funding bill, and we found by a margin of 80-7 in Florida that voters wanted to see Congress just pass a bill that dealt with Zika funding and nothing else, because that's what's holding it up, as Republicans are trying to defund Planned Parenthood and do this other sort of extraneous stuff in exchange for the Zika funding. And we also asked, who are you going to blame for this impasse? Only 35% of voters said they placed the blame on President Obama. 50% said Congress is at fault. You know, that's obviously not the kind of issue that's going to cause a 5-point swing in a state, but it is the kind of issue that could make the difference between Trump winning Florida by half a point and Clinton winning Florida by half a point. And certainly we saw in both 2012 and in 2000 especially that you can have that close of a presidential race in Florida. So that is the kind of thing where an issue like that in a race that's as razor-thin margin as this one, it could end up causing Trump to lose a state that he would otherwise win, because it might be the kind of thing that makes a voter who doesn't like Clinton or Trump say, well, at least Clinton and the Democrats are going to do something like move Zika funding forward without playing games about it.
And I have to assume that last number, the 35-50, has got to be good news for Clinton more than Trump, because I'm not looking at the crosstabs, but I have to assume those 35% who blame Obama for the lack of a Zika bill are the same 35% who just believe everything that Donald Trump says to begin with.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's an issue where you get some differentiation. The state as a whole may be very split, but it's not split when it comes to the issue of who gets the blame for the Zika bill, Zika impasse. So there's not a whole lot of sort of voters on the fence who are blaming Obama for the lack of action on this.
Speaking again with Tom Jensen, publicpolicypolling.com is the website for all of the Florida numbers and other states as well as nationwide. Any other key numbers coming out of the Florida survey?
Not so much Florida. I just think that just thinking about the sort of national big picture, definitely starting to hear some people freak out because of the CNN poll this week that had Trump up by 1 point.
Yes.
And that kind of thing. And you'll certainly see sort of dueling poll narratives out of North Carolina today, with one with Clinton up 4 and the other with Trump up 3. And I think it's just a good time for our periodic reminder not to get too hung up on any individual poll. Just look at the averages, look at all the polls together. And I think the big picture story we're seeing is that, you know, a race where Clinton was up by 6 or 7 points a month ago, maybe she's only up by 3 or 4 points now. So the race is tightening, but Clinton still has the advantage. So I don't think that Trump fans should get too excited. I don't think that Clinton fans should get too despondent. But I also think that both sides should see that this is a race that's really close enough that it could go either way.
PublicPolicyPolling.com is the website. Check out all the numbers there. Tom, before we let you go, you're also the Tar Heel super fan. So what are you thinking about the Tar Heel football team heading into Illinois this weekend?
Well, I think that even though they lost last week, they showed that they are a pretty solid team. I mean, it was a de facto road game against what's now a top 10 team. So they acquitted themselves well in that setting. Illinois certainly is not a top 10 team. UNC just destroyed Illinois last year in Keenan. So I think that UNC will win, and it won't be too close. I'm going to go with 35-21, the Tar Heels win in Champaign.
All right, sounds good. Tom Jensen, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.